In Matthew chapter number 4, and this morning I want to preach to you, and we're actually kind of kicking off a little bit of a series this morning. We're going to be dealing with a subject for the next 3 or 4 weeks, and it's on the subject of temptation, and specifically learning about temptation through the temptations of Christ. If you look at verse number 1 of Matthew chapter 4, the Bible says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." And temptation is not something we talk a lot about, but it's something that the Bible talks a lot about, something that Jesus went through. And I want to just kind of give you a lesson, a sermon, preaching, whatever you want to call it, in the subject of temptation. And you've got to notice this and understand this. Christ was tempted. We see that in verse 1. Jesus was led of the Spirit into the wilderness for this purpose, to be tempted of the devil. But here's what you need to understand about temptation, because it's not something that maybe we talk a lot about or we talk about. We kind of assume people know what temptations are or what it means. Keep your finger there in Matthew chapter number 2, but go with me to the book of Hebrews towards the end of the New Testament. Hebrews, if you start from the back of the Bible, the last book is the book of Revelation. If you go backwards, you'll go past the book of Jude, which is one chapter. You'll go past 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, which are small books. You'll go past 1st and 2nd Peter. You'll get to the book of James, and right before James, you got Hebrews. So if you start from the back, Revelation, Jude, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, 1st, 2nd Peter, James, and you'll find yourself in the book of Hebrews. Look at Hebrews chapter number 4. And when you get to Hebrews, maybe put a bulletin or a ribbon or a bookmark or something in Hebrews, because we're going to leave it, but then we're going to come back to it towards the end of the sermon. So you'll know we're almost done when we get back to Hebrews, all right? Hebrews chapter number 4, and look at verse number 14. I want you to notice something that the Bible said about Christ. Now, we saw in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1 that Jesus was tempted of the devil. But in Hebrews chapter 4, the Bible gives us some insight into this idea of temptations. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14 says this: "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into heaven." Now, who is that high priest? Jesus, the Son of God. Do you see that? So we're talking about Jesus, the Son of God, "let us hold fast our profession." Verse 15: "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." Now, in verse 14, we saw that Jesus was that great high priest. And here, he's describing Jesus, and he said, the high priest that we have, he's not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, meaning he can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He does know what we're going through. He does understand our circumstances. He does understand how we feel. And here's why: "But was in all points tempted like as we are." Do you see that? Jesus had to be tempted by Satan so that it could be said of Christ that he knows exactly what you and I are going through. But the Bible says the difference between Christ and me, or Christ and you, is that he was in all points tempted like as we are, but don't miss the last phrase of verse 15, "yet without sin." Do you see that? So the Bible teaches that you can be tempted and not sin. And you got to understand that. Temptation is not sin. When you are tempted, that doesn't necessarily mean that you've sinned. But when you act on that temptation, or when you give in to that temptation, would be maybe a better way of saying it, then you have sinned. You're there in Hebrews. Go to James, the next book over, James chapter 1. Because Jesus was tempted, yet without sin. Jesus went through temptation, but he did not give in to that temptation. He never sinned. So what is temptation? In James chapter 4, the Bible says this, and I'm not going to turn to all these passages for you, but if you study the word temptation or tempted in Scripture, you'll find this synonym, the word provoked or enticed. We'll see that in James. The word tempted means to be provoked or enticed into doing something. James chapter number 1, if you look at verse number 13, the Bible says this. James chapter 1 and verse 13, the Bible says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." Verse 14. "But every man is tempted." Here's when you're tempted. "When he is drawn away of his own lust." You see the word lust there? Talking about desire. "And enticed." The word enticed means to be attracted. Now, this word temptation, it's a difficult word to understand, because sometimes people will sin and they'll say, "Oh, that was just temptation." But you got to understand this. Temptation is the offer of sin. Temptation is when you are enticed or you are attracted or you are provoked to sin. The moment you give in to that sin, then you are tempted. Now, that's easy to understand in the physical realm. You know, someone is tempted, and hopefully, you know, not most of you here, maybe some of you, but someone is tempted, you know, they see something that they want. Okay? And they think, oh, I'd like to steal that. You're at a store, you see something you'd like to have, but you don't have the money. You are tempted. Now look, just having that temptation of I'd like to steal that, that's not a sin. You were tempted, you can overcome that temptation and move on and be without sin. But the moment you take it, you understand that? The moment you give into it, you're tempted. Now, the Bible tells us that there are sins of the mind. And I just want to make this clear. I'm not preaching about this morning, but I don't want to give, you know, especially men, the excuse to sin in their mind. Because the Bible says that the thought of foolishness is sin. The Bible says that to think wrongly is sin. So sometimes, men, you know, you may think, well, I'm tempted to look at a woman in a way that I shouldn't look at, or look at something that I shouldn't look at. And now there's a temptation there. There's an enticement there. You may go ahead and say, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to, you know, think about something else. I'm going to capture my thoughts. I'm going to not give into that. And you have not sinned. But as soon as you start thinking about that, I just want to make this clear. As soon as you thought about it and you're just dwelling on that, you've sinned, okay? So, you know, because people get this idea, well, I can think about women all day long and it's not a sin. If you're thinking about them in the wrong way, the Bible says, Jesus said that you've committed adultery with her already in your heart. You understand that? So I want to make sure I'm not, you know, giving you an excuse to sin. Temptation is not sin. Temptation is the opportunity to sin. You understand that? The temptation is the provoke. Satan comes and says, I'm provoking you, I'm enticing you to give into this. The moment you give into that, whether physically or in your own mind, you've already sinned. And for that, there's remedy. You can confess your sins to God and God will forgive you and you can move on. But what we're talking about is before the sin comes, when that temptation arises. Because Jesus was tempted. You can't get away from that. Yet without sin. He never gave in. He never allowed himself to go in to that temptation. For the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about the subject of temptation and learning from Christ how we can overcome temptation and how we can get away from it. But you got to understand this. Temptation will come. Christ was tempted. And here's what you got to get. If Christ was tempted, you'll be tempted. If Christ was tempted, I'll be tempted. We will all deal with temptation. Now, the difference between you and me and Christ is that unlike Christ, because we're sinners, we often give in to temptation. But you got to understand this. Every problem in your life, you have a drinking problem, you have a drug problem, you have an addiction problem, you have a sexual sin problem, you have a lying problem, you have a covetousness problem, you have having a critical spirit problem, you lose your temper, whatever it is that you have in your life that God, you know, the Holy Spirit will highlight in you, and you realize this is an issue, this is a problem, this is a sin in my life that I have to deal with. Whatever that issue is, and it's different for all of us, children are going to have sin issues that they deal with that will be different than teenagers, that'll be different than adult men and adult women, but we all have sin that we must deal with. Here's what I know about you. You get tempted. Because here's what I know about you. You're a sinner. You say, well, I don't think you should call me a sinner. Well, the Bible says that we're all sinners. The Bible says for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So here's what I know. If you're a sinner and I'm a sinner, then we've been tempted and we've given in to that temptation. So the question is, when dealing with sin, you can cut it off at the pass by learning to deal with temptation. Now, here's the thing. We all give in. We all sin. We understand that. But you don't have to give in. See, Jesus died to give us victory. Jesus died to make us conquerors. And we can be prepared. And the Bible teaches us that there are certain times, and like I said, in the next few weeks, we're going to be dealing with the specific temptations that were brought to Christ. Because here's the thing, when Satan went to Jesus to tempt him, you better believe that Satan brought his A game. You know what I mean? He brought the worst, the best, for lack of a better word, he brought the best temptations he could bring to Christ. And Jesus overcame each and every one of them. And over the next few weeks, we'll be looking at those individually and studying those out and figuring out the temptations that Satan will often bring our way and how we can overcome that. But today, I just kind of want to lay the framework, and I want to lay this idea of when temptation comes. Because when Jesus was tempted, it was at a very specific time. Go back to Matthew chapter 4. Look at verse number 2. Matthew chapter number 4 and verse number 2. When temptation comes. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 2, the Bible says this. And when he, now we know the subject is Jesus. Notice this. Had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He was afterward unhungered. Do you see that? And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Now, here's what you got to understand. And I didn't come up with this. Many preachers have preached this, and many recovery programs and scientists have done research. And you know what they have found? People have found that when we are the most vulnerable to give in to wrong desires, they have found that there are situations in our lives. And it's funny because the Bible highlights these for us, and we're going to look at them this morning. But they have found that there are times, seasons in our lives, points in our days even, when we are the most vulnerable to a temptation. People have done research. It's been studied out with recovery programs and all sorts of things. And they came up with this acronym, HALT. Who's ever heard of that acronym, HALT? The acronym HALT stands for certain things. And I want you to notice it's interesting because scientists and researchers and people will study lives and ask questions, and they'll come up with these things. But the Bible gives us this idea. The word heart, HALT, that acronym HALT, stands for these words: hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. Hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. Do you know that you will be the most vulnerable to the temptations of Satan when you are either hungry, angry, lonely, or tired? And the Bible highlights this for us. Notice when Satan came to Jesus, Matthew chapter 4. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. Now, Jesus was physically hungry here. He had not ate for 40 days and 40 nights. And notice the temptation was related to that hunger. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And we'll look at that next week and study it in detail. But here's what you got to understand. That word hungry, go to 1 Corinthians with me real quickly. 1 Corinthians, you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. Here's what you got to understand. That phrase hungry does not only imply a hunger of food. The idea is of a fleshly appetite, a desire. This is why Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 gave this advice to married couples. Let me show you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, look at verse 4. The Bible says, the wife hath not power over her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power over his own body, but the wife. Verse 5, he says, defraud ye not one another. Now the idea that he's saying there is that because you're married, and in the context, you'll know that your job is to please your wife, husbands, and your job, husband, is to please your wife. And because part of the coming together and becoming one flesh is fulfilling each other's desires physically, he says, look, your body, ladies, does not belong to you. You don't have power over your own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. And he says, defraud ye not one another. He says, you shouldn't abstain. You shouldn't keep from each other. Notice, he's talking about withholding your bodies from each other, except it be with consent for a time. He says, it's okay if you do it with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. And notice, come together again. He says, I don't want you to defraud each other and go long period of time without being, physically together. Here's why, last phrase of verse 5, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. That word incontinency means your lack of being able to control yourself. He says, look, you better just be with each other regularly so that you don't get tempted, because when you have a fleshly appetite, when you are hungry, so to speak, you are the most vulnerable to being tempted. You understand that? And that's not just food, although it could be food. That's not just a physical relationship, although it could definitely be a physical relationship. But there are areas in our lives when we have desires, we have appetites, we have things that we want to fulfill. And here's what you got to understand. When you are hungry, you are the most likely to give in to temptation. Jesus did not give in to temptation, but when did temptation come? When he was hungry. He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and he was afterward and hungry. Go with me to the book of Numbers. Numbers in the Old Testament. You got Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. We know that you are the most likely to give in to temptation when you are hungry. We also know that you are the most likely to give in to temptation when you are angry. You are the most likely to give in to temptation when you are hungry. We saw the temptation of Christ. But you are also the most likely to give in to temptation when you are angry. I'd like you to notice the temptation of Moses. Numbers chapter number 20. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Numbers chapter 20. Notice what the Bible says. Numbers chapter 20. Look at verse 3. And the people chode. That word chode is the same word chide. It means to voice disapproval, to argue, to say something negative. And the people chode with Moses. So the people were speaking negatively to Moses about his leadership. They were disapproving of him. Notice, and spake, saying, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. And why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? And wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt to bring us unto this evil place? It is not a place of seed or of figs or of vines or of pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. Do you understand what's going on? The people are complaining to the leader. They're saying, Moses, why did you bring us here? Moses, it'd be better for us to be back in Egypt. It'd be better for us if we were dead. You brought us here. There's nothing to eat. There's nothing to drink. We're going to die of thirst. We're thirsty and we're hungry. And they're chiding. They're arguing. They're being disapproving of Moses. Moses and Aaron run to God. And by the way, that's what you ought to do. Amen. They run to God. But look at verse 7. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod. God was going to use this in the life of Moses to picture a coming and a fulfilling of Christ. He said, take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron and thy brother. Now notice what Jesus says, and mark this in your Bible if you like marking your Bible, take notes. And speak ye unto the rock before their eyes. Now, I don't have time to show you this, but in the Bible, the rock is often a picture of Christ. It represents the Lord. And the Bible says that Moses was supposed to go to this rock, and he was supposed to speak to it. He says, speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. Notice verse 9. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, now notice what Moses says. He says to the people, hear now, ye rebels. Does it sound like Moses is upset? Must we fetch you water out of this rock? And notice what Moses does. Verse 11. And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote. The word smote means to hit the rock twice. Now what was he supposed to do? He was supposed to speak to the rock. What did he do? He picked up the rod and he hit the rock. He smote the rock twice. Why? Because he was angry. Because he was upset. Because the people were annoying him. They were irritating him. They kept complaining, and they were just these complainers. Could you imagine being in a wilderness for 40 years with a bunch of complainers? Complaining about everything. We don't have enough water. We don't have enough food. Then they get food, and, well, this isn't the food we like. And they're just complaining, and they're upset. And Moses getting upset. But notice, he gives in to the anger, and he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly. And the congregation drank, and their beasts also. Notice verse 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. Therefore, ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Moses was not allowed, and Aaron was not allowed to enter into the promised land. They were not allowed to take the people into the promised land. Joshua brought the children of Israel into the promised land for this one reason. Because Moses gave in at a time of anger to a temptation. And here's what you got to understand. We are the most vulnerable to temptations when you are hungry, when you are angry. Go to John chapter number 18. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John chapter number 18. Do you know that you're the most vulnerable to temptation when you are lonely or alone? John chapter 18. We talked about this last Wednesday night in our Matthew Bible study, so I don't want to spend a lot of time here, but I want to show you some things from the book of John that we did not see in the book of Matthew on Wednesday night. But I want you to notice the temptation of Peter. We saw the temptation of Christ. We saw the temptation of Moses. I want you to notice the temptation of Peter. Notice when Peter was tempted. If you were with us on Wednesday night, you remember that we studied the fact that Peter denied the Savior. Remember, Peter denied Christ three different times. We studied that from Matthew. But let me show you something about the denial of Peter from the book of John. John chapter 18, and look at verse number 15. John chapter number 18 and verse number 15. John chapter 18 and verse number 15. The Bible says, "And Simon Peter followed Jesus." This is after Jesus has been arrested and he's being taken to the high priest, and they're going to have a fake trial. They're trying to find these false accusers to have something to accuse Christ with. And the Bible says, "And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple." Now, that other disciple is John, who wrote the book of John. And the Bible says that disciple, John, was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace. So I want you to understand this, okay? Here you have Jesus being taken into the palace of the high priest. Behind him come Peter and John following afterwards. When they get to the palace, John, the Bible says, the disciple, was known. Notice the middle of verse 15. And went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. It says that disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. John, for whatever reason, had connections in that palace. He knew people in that palace, and people in that palace knew him. And John walks up and says, "Hey, I want to see what's going on with Jesus." They said, "Oh yeah, you're one of Jesus' disciples. We know who you are, John. Come on in." And John goes in. But notice what it says about Peter. Look at verse 16. But Peter stood at the door without. That word without means outside or out, not inside. He wasn't inside. He was without. Now, why did Peter not get in? But Peter stood at the door without, then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Do you understand that? Peter gets to the palace. They say, "We don't know who you are." They close the door in his face. And Peter's just kind of waiting out there saying, "How am I going to get into the palace? How am I going to see what's going on?" John comes back, talks to the maid and said, "Hey, I know who he is. Can you let him in?" They said, "All right, we'll do a favor for you, John." They opened the door, let Peter in. Now, here's what you got to understand, and here's where Peter got himself into trouble. He was in a place not only where he was lonely and not only where he was alone, but in a place where he was unknown. They didn't know who Peter was. Now, they knew who John was, but they didn't know who Peter was. And notice what the Bible says. Look at verse 16 again. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Verse 17. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, "Art not thou also one of this man's disciples?" And here's what the girl's saying. "I know who John is, and I know that John is one of the disciples, but aren't you also one of the disciples?" But here's the thing. She didn't know Peter, and Peter didn't know her, and Peter didn't know anyone in that palace. And he saith, he gives into temptation. Here's the temptation. "Art not thou also one of this man's disciples?" The temptation is to say, "No, I'm not." The temptation is to lie. Now, he doesn't have to. He can say, "Yes, I'm one of the disciples. Yes, I'm Peter. Yes, I'm a follower of Christ." But he gives into the temptation and he saith, "I am not." Denial number one. Look at verse 18. "And the servant and the officers stood there, who made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself." Now here's what you got to understand. He was with people, but he was alone. He was with people, but he was lonely. He was with people, but he was unknown. Skip down to verse 25. "And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself." Remember, alone. "And they said therefore unto him, Art not thou also one of his disciples?" He denied. Denial number two. "And said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off." Remember, we saw that on Wednesday night, that Peter actually cut off the ear of one of the servants of the high priest trying to defend Christ when Christ was first taken prisoner. But here, he had that boldness. But notice, he was surrounded by people he knew, disciples and Jesus. But when he was alone, he denied Christ. Notice verse 25, "And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, Art thou not also one of his disciples? He denied and said, I am not. And one of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, Did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter then denied again." Denial number three. "And immediately the cock crew." Remember, Jesus had prophesied, "Before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me thrice." Now, why did Peter give in to the temptation? Here's why he gave in. Because he was lonely. Because he was alone. He was around people, but he was unknown. And here's what you got to understand. You are the most vulnerable to temptation when you are hungry. See, if I'm Satan and I'm going to tempt Jesus, I'm going to come at the time that I feel he's the most likely to give in. So when does he come? When Jesus had not ate for 40 days and 40 nights, when he wasn't hungered. And what does he tempt him with? Food. Why? Because you're the most likely to give in to temptation when you're hungry. You're the most likely to give in to temptation when you're angry, Moses. You're the most likely to give in to temptation when you're lonely, Peter. Go to Genesis, Genesis chapter 25, first book in the Bible. Genesis chapter 25. When are you the most likely to give in to temptation? Genesis chapter 25. Not only when you're hungry, not only when you're angry, not only when you're lonely, but when you're tired. You're the most likely to give in to temptation when you're tired. Genesis 25, look at verse 29. Genesis 25, look at verse number 29. And Jacob sought pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. That word faint means weak or tired. Remember the story of Jacob and Esau? And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with the same red pottage, for I am, notice this word, faint. He says, feed me, I'm so weak, I'm so tired. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Verse 34, and Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Here's what you got to understand. Jacob got Esau to give in to temptation in a moment of weakness because Esau was faint, tired. See, here's what you got to understand. Go to Luke with me. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke. I know we're looking at a lot of passages, but that's what you need. That's why we're here. We came to the church to study God's word. Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Here's what you got to understand. We're all sinners. So we all get tempted, and we all give in to temptation. And the Bible teaches us, and some of the best research done on the subject of when you're most likely to give in to a temptation teaches us that you are the most likely to give in when you are hungry, not just physically, but a fleshly appetite, a desire that you want to fulfill. When you are angry, when you are upset, you're most likely, and you know it's true, you're more likely to drink, or you're more likely to do something that you're going to regret. When you're fighting with your spouse, when you're fighting with your children, when you're upset about something at work, when you're angry, you're likely to give in to temptation. When you are lonely, and that doesn't mean that you don't have people around you, but you feel alone, you feel like there's no accountability, you feel like you're around people, but they don't know you, they don't care about you, they don't expect anything from you. These people don't know that I'm a disciple of Christ, and I can lie to them. Now, if John was here, I couldn't lie, because John, he knows who I am. If Jesus was here, I couldn't lie, because he knows who I am. But this mate, she doesn't know who I am. I'm alone, and I'm most likely to give in to temptation. You're most likely to give in to temptation when you're tired. Not just physically, although that's definitely part. You know, the books have been written, and research has told us that people are most likely to do things like cheat on a diet and cheat on their spouse at night. Why? Because in the morning, you're strong. You're not tired. Your willpower is still strong. But the more tired you get, the more faint you are. It could be stress. It could be pressure. Whatever it is, it's not an excuse. But you just got to understand, you are the most likely to give in to temptation when you're hungry, when you're angry, when you're lonely, when you're tired. So you say, well, Pastor Jimenez, this is all interesting, but what do we do with this? Well, you do what the acronym says. HALT. When you realize that you are in a state where you are vulnerable to temptation, when you realize, I'm hungry, I'm angry, I'm lonely, I'm tired. You say, well, what do I do? Well, we're going to be learning what you can do over the next few weeks. But the first steps, and it's not a step, it's steps. The first steps is you just
halt. You just stop. You just say, time out for a minute. See, what Moses should have done is before he picked up that rod and went to that rock and smote that rock, he would have said, you know what? I'm going to take a moment before I talk to those people because those people are crazy. Those people are insane. Those people are irritating me. I'm going to take a moment to cool off. See, what Peter should have said when he was asked the question, he would have said, you know what? Let me get back to you. And he should have just stepped away and got out of that situation. What Esau should have done is just taken a moment to realize, I'm real tired, but I don't want to get rid of my birthright. And he should have halted. Of course, Jesus did not sin. Jesus did the right thing. He stopped. See, what do you do when you realize you're in that position where you're most likely to give in to temptation? You halt. You say, well, what do I do after I halt? Here's what you do. You pray. Say, well, that just sounds like, you know, a Christian answer. Well, it's the answer that Christ gave. Are you there in Luke chapter? Look at Luke chapter 22. Let me just show you something interesting. We saw this on Wednesday night, and I apologize. I'm not trying to re-preach the same sermon, and the sermons are very different. I hope you notice that. But look at Luke 22. And notice what Jesus said. When Peter was about to give in to temptation, right before he denied Christ, Jesus said to Peter two things. The first one is found in Luke 22. He said the same thing two different times. Luke chapter 22 and look at verse number 40. Luke chapter 22 and verse number 40. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, notice what he says. He's talking to Peter, James, and John. He said unto them, pray. Do you see that? Now, why does he want them to pray? He said, pray that ye enter not into what? Temptation. See, right before Peter was about to feel alone and be unknown and be in a place where he was vulnerable to give in to temptation, right before he got there, Jesus says, hey, Peter, you would do good to take a moment right now to just stop and pray. What do I pray for? That ye enter not into temptation. Look at verse 46. And said unto them, same group, same context, why sleep ye? Rise and pray. Why? Lest ye enter into temptation. Say, well, what do I do when I'm tempted? You stop and you pray that God would allow you to be able to overcome the temptation. Go to Luke chapter number 11. Luke chapter number 11. Remember when Jesus, his disciples asked Jesus, teach us to pray? And he went through that model prayer there, known as the Lord's Prayer. We won't read the entire prayer, but if you remember, there's a section in that prayer where Jesus taught. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he instructed them to pray about temptation. Luke chapter number 11, look at verse 4. Luke chapter number 11, verse 4. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Notice, this is Jesus teaching us to pray. What do you say to God when you're praying? Here's what you say to God. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. See, you say, Pastor, what do I do when I'm vulnerable? What do I do when I'm hungry, when I'm angry, when I'm lonely, when I'm tired, when I feel like I'm the most likely to give in to that sin that does so easily beset me? What do you do? Well, there's lots of things you can do, and we'll look at those over the next few weeks as we study the temptations of Christ. But the first steps you should take is just halt, is just stop and pray and ask God to help you to not lead into that temptation. Because here's what you got to understand. Go back to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter number 4. Here's what you got to understand. God has overcame those temptations already. God can give you the victory. Christ overcame temptations. Hebrews chapter 4. Now, I told you when we got to Hebrews, we'd be done, but I didn't tell you how many passages we were going to look at Hebrews. So look at Hebrews chapter 4 and look at verse number 14. We saw this one, but I just want you to see it again. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. You remember that? He was tempted in every point like you are. Every temptation you've ever dealt with, Christ dealt with it. But the difference between Christ and you, the difference between Christ and me, is that he met the temptation and he conquered the temptation and he was yet without sin. Now notice, go back to Hebrews chapter 2, look at verse 18. Hebrews chapter 2, look at verse 18. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. For in that he,
that's Jesus, himself hath suffered being tempted. We know that, right? Matthew chapter 4. He is able to succor. Do you see that word there? S-U-C-C-O-R. You know what that word means? It means aid. It means help. It means relief. Them that are tempted. Do you see that? See, the Bible says, because Jesus hath suffered being tempted, he can then come alongside you and he can aid you and he can help you and he can relieve you in your temptation because he knows exactly what you're going through. But here's what he can do that I can't do for you. Here's what he can do that a lot of recovery programs can't do for you. Because see, what I can't do for you is help you overcome sin. You know why? Because I'm a sinner. You know why I can't help you overcome temptation? Because I am overcome by temptations. You know why I can't do cleanse you? Because I'm a sinner just like you are. But you know why Christ can help me overcome and Christ can help me be victorious and God and Christ can help me get over the temptation of sin? Is because he's gone on the other side. He's already been there. He's already dealt with it. But the difference between him and me is that he won. Amen. And he can then come alongside you and aid you and relieve you and help you. Say, well, how do I contact God? Here's how you contact him. You stop and pray and ask him to help you. Now, there's more steps than that, and we'll go over them in the next few weeks, but here's what I know about you. You are a sinner, and I don't know what your sins are, and I don't want to know, but I know you're a sinner, and I know you struggle with sin, and I know there are things in every single one of us, and some of them may be big by our standards, and some of them may be small, but you have a drug problem, or a drinking problem, or a pornography problem, or a cheating problem, or a lying problem, or you just shop more than you should, or you just eat too much, or whatever it is that you're struggling with. You're critical, you're a liar, you steal, your husband doesn't know that you're a shoplifter, he doesn't understand where you got all this stuff. You know, whatever it is that you're dealing with, here's what I know, you're dealing with something. You have a sin, and I don't know it, and your husband doesn't know it, and your wife doesn't know it, and your kids don't know it, but God knows it. And the temptation comes, and you either give in to it, and here's when it comes. See, it doesn't come when you're, you know, you don't, shoplifting, I don't know, hopefully, I don't know. I'm not even going to say hopefully, because we've definitely had shoplifters in our church before. So if that's your sin of choice, I'm not picking on you, I want to help you. You know, it doesn't happen when your kids are right there. You know what I mean? It doesn't happen when the store manager's right there because you're not lonely, right? It happens when you're hungry, angry, lonely, tired. It happens when you're the most vulnerable. Well, that's when the temptation comes. So what do you do? Here's what you do. Go back to Hebrews 4, look at verse 15. For we have not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin, verse 16. Because of that, because he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Isn't it amazing how consistent the scripture is? Verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of temptation. Need. Amen. When I need the help. When I'm the most vulnerable. When I'm hungry, when I'm angry, when I'm lonely, when I'm tired, when I'm likely to give in. Say, Pastor Manz, what do I do with this? Here's what you do with it. Two things. Number one, you learn to recognize when you are the most vulnerable to temptation. And you learn to halt and pray and ask God to help you. And here's the next thing you do. You come back next week and the week after that and the week after that. Because here's what we're going to be studying and here's what you need. And you said, well, my wife doesn't know, my kids don't know, nobody knows. But here's what you need. You need to learn how to overcome temptation. And you can learn it from the person who's already gone through it and was victorious, Jesus Christ. Amen. Over the next few weeks, we'll be looking at the temptations of Satan to Christ and how Jesus overcame them. And that's what you need. And that's what I need. Because we're sinners and we give in to temptation. Let's pray together.